Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
CDC. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the studio in Landover, Maryland. Just want to wish everyone a happy Sunday. Thank you for tuning in. It's a blessing to be able to be with you one more time. It looks like spring is getting ready to spring here in the DC metropolitan area. Looks like we're going to be having some temperatures in the 70s and the 80s this week. So I'm sure all of the cherry blossoms are going to be in full effect. A lot of visitors coming into town and observing those beautiful blossoms. I know in our neighborhood they are already blooming, and it's a beautiful thing to behold and to see. And it's just a pleasant sight to your eyes coming off of a winter. And we're just excited about the change of a season, change of weather here in the nation's capital metropolitan area. And always new things that are coming up, and always people coming in and visiting, and tourists just to see the beauty of the Tidal Basin and the beauty of the Japanese cherry blossoms. It's just a great time that we're having here at this particular time. And, you know, with changing of season, I know many of our children are getting ready to come back from spring break, or some have already come back from spring break. But there's still a serious concern that we have concerning our children, because some of them don't want to come back from school. Some of them are hesitant to go back into the school environment, and that is because of bullying. And we last year did a couple shows on bullying. We want to just touch base on that again today, because we've had some instances, you know, that have recently occurred in, you know, our relationship with people, where bullying is happening, and that, you know, children not wanting to go back to school, you know, after returning or after being on spring break because of the anxiety, of the fear of bullying. So we just wanted to refresh everyone's mind, you know, about, you know, the serious problem that goes along with our children, and it's something that, you know, we need to keep in the forefront particularly when children don't want to go back to school. You know, everyone, you know, in this country has a right to get an education, and it's tough when you're in a position where you don't want to get the education that you deserve because of someone is bullying you, and it's tough. You know, excuse me, it's tough from a parent's perspective. It's tough from a student's perspective, educators. It's tough all the way around. And, you know, we have to really take the time out to make sure this is a front burner item that we all continue to deal with, because it's just a sad case to see children don't want to go to school because of the environment. And so, you know, so you say, what is bullying? And like last year, we wanted just to, you know, use some of the ideas that the government has put out in stopbullying.gov. That's stopbullying.gov, stopbullying.gov. And it's a very good resource that, you know, just kind of walks you through it step by step, talking about what is bullying. Talks about cyberbullying and who's at risk and ways of preventing bullying and also how to respond to bullying. And one of the definitions on the site says bullying is unwanted aggressive behavior among school-aged children that involves a real or perceived power imbalance. And the behavior is repeated or has the potential to be repeated over time. It says both kids who are bullied and who bully others have serious lasting problems. And so that's why I feel it's important tonight just to talk about it, because, you know, it has lasting implications. And you know, when you have, you know, serious lasting implications, that means it continues well after the children are out of school. And, you know, it's can be carried over into adulthood and can lead to mental illness and mental health issues, substance abuse issues, and even suicide. And it's important that when we know about bullying or know about someone who's been bullied, then we take it serious because of not only the short-term but the long-term effects of bullying. And you really have to get into it and stay into it. And, you know, that's one of the things that a lot of times we get to a place where we can't keep talking about this, or we can't keep discussing it, but it's something we have to keep talking about, something we have to keep in forefront. One of the things in areas, there's really, you know, no single risk factor for someone being bullied. It happens in cities and suburbs, rural towns, sometimes depending on the environment. Kids who are smaller built or could be race-driven, people of lesbian, gay, and bisexual, transgender community, youth with disabilities, any type of thing, those things where people are different can be risk factors of people, because people are different or have different beliefs, different, you know, race. That, you know, those things where people would single kids out or single people out, that there's bullying going on. And, you know, you have to be careful for the warning signs. And when you look at the warning signs of children, you can begin to start seeing, you know, there's different behaviors that they exhibit. And when you begin to start look at those behaviors that are being exhibited, you can look at, you know, bruises or unexplained injuries. You can look at destroyed property like book bags or books or, you know, electronics or jewelry, those things coming up missing. know, children are always, you know, like I said, trying to get ready to go back from spring break, coming up with, you know, headaches and, you know, stomach aches, or feeling sick, or, you know, just faking illnesses, just so they won't have to deal with the situation at school. You know, these things come up, and, you know, some of them have different eating habits or binge eating, and, you know, they come home hungry from school because they don't want to eat with the people at the, you know, in the lunchroom, difficulty sleeping, grades going down, lack of interest in school, you know, avoiding social, you know, situations, just a decrease, you know, self-esteem. And sometimes you can see them begin to take on self-destructive behaviors like running away from home and, you know, doing things to harm themselves and even talking about, you know, suicide. And those are some of the signs that, you know, are seen when children are being bullied. And it's really, really sad to see a child exhibit, you know, those behaviors, especially with physical injuries or talking about taking their own lives. You know, kids are so young to be talking about those things. But, you know, growing up, I grew up and I had older brothers and sisters. So for the most part, I never, you know, experienced bullying. I mean, we experienced teasing, but we didn't experience really bullying. But kids are mean. They can be mean and you know, they can be very hurtful to people. And, you know, I had, you know, older brothers and older sister, and, you know, we pretty much, you know, had a group of us that we stuck together and nobody really, you know, messed with us. But bullying can, you know, really affect kids. And it's because kids, a lot of times they want to, you know, be like they fit in, and they want to be well liked, and so they'll go along with the crowd. And you can begin to start seeing, you know, signs of kids who are bullying. And, you know, a lot of them, they get involved with verbal fights, and they have friends who bully others, and, you know, they begin to start taking on aggressive behavior, and a lot of times they're sent to the principal's office for detention and, you know, have unexplained belongings and extra money, and, you know, they begin to blame others for their problems and don't have a way of not accepting responsibility for their own actions, and, you know, they become competitive and worry about their reputation of being popular. Those are signs of kids who are bullying others, you know, and that thing of extra money and belongings. We really need to keep an eye on that. If you know that children haven't been given certain things and, you know, it's out of the ordinary for them to have this pair of shoes or this jacket or this amount of money, then, you know, that's a sign that you know, that kid might be bullying others. So those are the type of things that you really have to watch out for, the signs of those who are being bullied and those who are bullying. You have to you know, worry about them, and you have to take it in consideration. And again, it's sad as a parent, as a guardian, as a concerned leader or a person in your neighborhood, is you have to, you know, just like with the police department, you have to be on the job every day. You know, it's not a thing where, you know, the police can never sleep. You got to have it, you know, police, you know, 24/7 available around the clock. And that's the way it is with bullying. You know, it has to be addressed. It has to be taken on as something that's not going to be tolerated. And that presence of, you know, leaders and adults and parents that are saying this is not going to be tolerated, and as soon as it happens, to stop it right away, to make sure that, you know, it's known that this is not acceptable, make sure it's known that every time something like this begins, that there's going to be people there to stop it. And what happens is that begins to start taking effect to the person that's bullying and the person that's being bullied. But it has to be a joint effort by those that have been around. There's suggestions by the stopbullying.gov website that tells suggests that you know there should be a survey before the school year and a survey you know at the end of the year to see you know what students are going through. Is there bullying involved? And then to put in a place or program that would help to identify and to prevent bullying. And you know people talk about it, but every day it goes on. And you know, unfortunately, I don't think it gets the respect that it should get as being a problem, not only to the kids immediately, but to the kids in the long term. And in the long term, it will begin to spill over into our communities. And, you know, kids who are bullied, they have a way of beginning to retaliate out once they get older. And it's very, very difficult to understand the mental cycle of how, you know, that pain that's inflicted, how it is acted out upon later on in life. And you know, there's studies that have been done, and people have studied the effects of bullying and how it affects people in their later lives. And you know, when you look at those type of things, you say, wow, you know, this is a long-term or residual effect of something that was done by young people. And you know, that should give us the impetus or the motivation to say, you know, if we want our communities to be as well as possible, that this is something that needs to remain mainstream, and it should not be a knee-jerk reaction just because, you know, someone gets caught or someone kills themselves, commits suicide, or kills some other people, that we have a knee-jerk response. And then after that, that's all it is. I know there are many people who are tired of that reaction over many things in our society. But what has to happen is you know, it has to be a grassroots core group of people in every, you know, school jurisdiction that, you know, keeps this as a high priority in their community. And if it's not a high priority in your community, then you need to, you know, be the one that spearheads it to making it a high priority, because it's a terrible thing that happens even now with the age of social media, with Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, those type of things. You know, they call it cyberbullying, where you know they post things and write things and tweet things, and you know it's so easy to not have a face and to do what I call a cowardly type of bullying, where you don't even confront the person, you know, physically, but you harm and hurt them through social media. And so, you know, that's becoming more prevalent every day. And so, again, back to that person that's in the community that's spearheading the bully prevention has to be in a school district where, you know, a group of people have to keep it on the front burner, if you will. They have to get to the point where, you know, this is not going away, making sure that every school, every principal has the proper tools that are necessary to be able to deal with bullying, to be able to confront it as soon as it happens, and to let people know that it's not going to happen. It should be like that state trooper that's on the side of the road or in the median, that every time he sees a violation, that, you know, they can do something about it, and that people will begin to slow down and change their behavior on the highway when they know that the state trooper is patrolling in certain areas. But, you know, just like with the state trooper patrolling the highways, there's not enough state troopers to patrol the whole highway, and so people will overdo the speed limit, amen, and you know, they will get away with it. But with bullying, we know that as long as there's not a program in place, as long as there's not a known enforcement of a stop bullying program, then people will go unchecked and they will get away with it. But we need to be more vigilant in the area of touching base with our schools, with our principals, with our various districts, and saying, hey, you know, what's in place? What can we do to help strengthen it? And what, in addition, can we do in order to police this serious situation so that less and less children are not wanting to come to school or not committing suicide or not, you know, bullying children that are not doing things that are unproductive in school where they should be getting an education. And it's going to take, you know, a lot of us to get involved. It just can't be one person, but it has to take a lot of us. And, you know, with even with the parents that are the parents of bullies, the parents of the children that are being bullied, there has to be a zero tolerance as far as, you know, those type of behaviors. When we see it, we need to deal with it and deal with it right away. It's critical. We don't want to see more and more people getting injured or hurt because of the cause of bullying. And it's something that when you see it, it makes your heart go out when you see the different hurts and different expressions of kids that don't want to go to school anymore and want to avoid certain people. It's tough, and so it's important for everyone in the community to work together to send a unified message against bullying and to just continue to launch and relaunch awareness campaigns and make objectives known to schools and parents and community members, and you know, to establish a school safety committee or a task force to plan and, you know, implement, you know, and evaluate, you know, the school's bullying prevention program. And, you know, every school, you know, should have a bullying prevention program. And you know, grassroots, you know, you and I, we need to, you know, make sure we visit every school and make sure that, you know, in our community we have people that, you know, are addressing it and you know, stick to it and don't let it fall, you know, through the cracks. Because, again, like I said, every school, everywhere, you know, you have it, and you have to be able to have policies and rules in place and get them to know and get them to say, hey, you know, this is not acceptable. This is what's going to happen if it happens. You know, here's a code of conduct. These are, you know, school-wide rules. You know, here's the bullying mission statement. You know, this type of crime is not acceptable. And, you know, you have to communicate it, you know, widely, and you have to communicate it, you know, on a daily basis. And you know, when you begin to do that, what happens is it begins to be like those speed traps that are all along the D.C. metropolitan area, where everywhere you go, you know that if you go here, if you go over this speed in this area, you're going to get a ticket. Red light cameras, speed cameras everywhere. And so what happens is people begin to start conforming to the rules because they know that there's penalties for going over the speed limit or running red lights. Looks like we got Rev B on the line. Let me see if we can touch base with him. Hello, is this you, Rev B?
Good evening, Pastor C. Happy Sunday to you.
Happy Sunday to you, my brother. How are you?
Doing well. Just wanted to call and check in and touch bases with you on this good day that the Lord has made.
I know that's right. So we were talking about tonight, we were revisiting bullying, and one of the things that I was revisiting, I know a couple of young people that did not want to go back to school from this break because of bullying environment. And, you know, it's tough to see kids that, you know, really want and really deserve a good education not want to go back to get an education or be a part of that learning environment because of the environment of bullying. And it's just tough to see it. So we said we're going to go back and we're going to revisit this and just try to stir up some compassion among, you know, our listeners to go back into the schools, to go back into their jurisdictions, touching base with their principals and you know, safety personnel, and to, you know, kick this thing back up to the front burner, Rebbe.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a very good point that, you know, we're talking about this tonight. I mean, you know, this, you know, pretty much for a lot of our kids is the final stretch. I mean, you pretty much have the month of April, you know, maybe for most PGA County, I think gets out at the end of May. So, you know, you're talking about maybe a month and a half, you know, at the most for most of our school districts in the area. And, you know, the weather's changing. And as the weather changes, you know, so do the hormones.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, so you have, you know, the school is kind of really on more of a heightened alert, you know, because, you know, the warm weather brings out crazy behaviors. Kids want to fight more. They want to argue more. You know, they just really busy because it's anticipation of the end of the school year. They're getting ready for the summer. So it's all of these different things. And, you know, but like you said, we just really want, you know, to still make sure that the schools are being established as a safe environment where children can go to school, they can learn, they don't have to feel picked on, you know, they don't have to feel like, you know, they're not safe, somebody's going to do them harm or whatever. You know, but the most important thing is, you know, Pastor C, is that the children have to be able to advocate for themselves. You know,
right.
The school has pieces in place. You know, we have, you know, EFOs who are like police officers in the school. We have security in the school. You know, you have your administrators. I mean, all of these people are there to help these students if they're feeling like they're being picked on, if they're feeling like they're being bullied. But,
right.
You know, like we said before, one of the biggest issues is that the kids don't communicate to those in charge or those who can help them in the situation because they don't want to be classified as a wimp or a punk or a sucker. Or most importantly, you know, they don't want to be called a snitch. Oh, he snitches. He went and told
you
know, you were picking on her. She said this and she said that. But you have to realize if you want to be safe, you have to speak up, you know. And a prime example, this is a very prime example that I dealt with a female student on last week.
Mm-hmm.
On last week, matter of fact, on the Friday before spring break, she left school campus, went to the McDonald's. There's a McDonald's across the street from my school, with only about 10, 15-minute walk. She thought she was going there to meet her friends, and come to find out, they set her up. They beat her up when she got there. They jumped her, you know. So then she comes back to school. She's got all these scratches on her neck. And we're like, we know you've been in a fight. Security seen you. Tell us what's going on. Wouldn't say a word. He was mum. So then last week after they come back from spring break, it's fueling. You know, I guess they're going back and forth on Instagram and Twitter and texting and all this other stuff. She comes to school the next day, prepared to fight, because I'm looking at her and I'm like, you got on boots and sweatpants and it's supposed to be 60 degrees today. Are you getting ready to fight somebody? No, I'm not going to fight nobody. I'm cool. This is the way I feel like dressing today. Later on in the day, come to find out, she goes into the classroom, approaches the female student, and then they start fighting. You know, and I told her, I said, this could have been prevented if you knew they were bothering you. If you knew they had been picking on you, that they had been bullying you, all you had to do was say something.
Right.
You know, and I was like, you know, you have to trust the adults. And her big thing was, I don't trust the adults. I don't feel that, you know, the adults have the ability to keep me safe. If I'm walking through the hallway, you know, and I have somebody walking me to my class to keep me safe, are they going to be able to protect me if a couple of female students come up and try to jump me? So
right.
she said, you know what, I just need to take matters into my own hands. And
wow.
those are the type of situations that we want to prevent by just having young people just be able to open up their mouths and communicate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to be a vigilante. You don't have to be a superhero. You don't have to fight these battles by yourself. But just
right.
say, hey, you know what? I know I have a good relationship with Red B. Or I know I have a good relationship with Pastor C. Or I know I have a good relationship with the principal in my school. There are people on your team
right.
that can help you. But like the doctors say, I can't help you unless you tell me what the symptoms are. You know, so, and that's what one thing that we really want to encourage as our kids get ready to go back to school tomorrow, that if somebody's bothering you, if you feel uncomfortable, pull somebody aside and say, hey, this is what's going on in my class, or this is what happens when I walk to school or walk home from school or on the bus
right.
ride over in the morning. You have to let somebody know, because that is one of the biggest things, like you said, that goes on with bullying and why this epidemic continues is because kids are still being picked on, but those kids who are not being picked on are not opening up their mouths and telling folks what's going on. They just deal with it internally, and we know that's not healthy.
No, that's not healthy at all. And, you know, I'm sorry to hear that about the young lady who got into the fight. And it's like, you know, taking things into your own hands and, you know, actually making it worse. You know, you're worse off than you know, if you could have, you know, let someone know in the position of an authority. And many times do you see kids taking it into their own hands and it ends up getting worse, and then they get punished, you know, in a way when they were the victim, and now, you know, they're getting punished because they're the victim. And, you know, it's a tough thing, you know, to deal with. And, you know, that's why I believe as adults and, you know, people of leadership, just need to keep this thing on the front burner, and like you said, build those good relationships with Rev B or Pastor C, that, you know, that these are the people that I can trust to talk to that are going to do something about it and can make a difference. But always to continue to keep the light on, keep the door open, keep the hand reached out, and like you were doing, you know, they say, hey, what's going on with the sweatpants and the boots? What's going on? You know, you getting ready to do this. I see you with scratches on your neck. And just constantly keep involved, constantly, you know, keep coming to the schools and saying, hey, you know, what are you doing? Have you reiterated this rule? Have you reiterated this code of conduct? And then, like you said, allowing the students to be able to take on, you know, that same role of you know, when something happens, to tell somebody, even if they're not involved, to feel, you know, empowered to go to somebody and say, hey, this is happening to so-and-so every day, you know, during gym or during lunch. You know, I just wanted, you know, to know that this has happened. I think we need to stop it right away. Just to have everyone involved and everyone around empowered to do it. And if we continue to do that, then what will happen is the instances can become less and less. But if everyone's not playing their role, it becomes more difficult to, you know, keep it under control.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And I mean, you know, like you say, this is a serious epidemic, and unfortunately it's not on, you know, the radar. But, you know, the way I look at it, Pastor C, there's always a direct correlation. And one of the things that I always found out in my studies of school shootings, random acts of violence in the school, is that I guarantee you anywhere between 80% and 90% of those people who commit those crimes at some point in time were victims of bullying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guarantee you the young man that did the shooting last December in Connecticut, I guarantee you that if they go back to his records, they
mm-hmm.
will find out that he was a victim of bullying.
Absolutely.
You know, the Virginia Tech guy, he was bullied. The guys at Columbine, they were bullied,
mm-hmm.
you know. And like I've said, you know, we have to be able to recognize the signs and often reach out to these children before they say, you know what, I've been pushed to my limit, so now I have to take this into my own hands.
Right.
And, you know, that bullying becomes a murder spree, and innocent people are killed because one or two people thought it was cute to bully this kid, and now this kid has made everybody a victim. And, you know, that's what we really want to prevent. Prevent, you know, this from happening. You know, innocent lives, children, teachers, whoever, you
right.
know, people who are trying
right.
to do their job, children who are trying to learn, you know, because we didn't pick up on the signs early enough, you know, that this child was being bullied, you know, and we have to be able to recognize what are the symptoms of a child that's being bullied. Because, you know, like I said, they're not going to open up and say, I'm being victimized. They're going to deal with it internally. And eventually,
right.
once they deal with that internally, then they're going to take matters into their own hands. Just like this young lady who was a victim of bullying and got beat up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she said, you know what, I like Mr. Stewart. He's a great teacher, but I'm going to take this one on by myself. Did she have to do it? No. But then she
no.
made it a much greater issue than what it needed to be. And all she simply could have said was, hey, this is what happened to me. Can you help me? This is what's going on. I got a little issue, blah, 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 blah. You know, so, you know, we have to think, like, what can we do to prevent school shootings?
Right.
No, we don't need to arm teachers with guns. That's not what it's about. You know,
oh,
that's where they're trying to go. And I know that's another topic, but that's where they're trying to go. But truth be told, if we're just able to just identify the kids who are being bullied, you know, those bullies eventually turn into, you know, shooter spree people. Those are the ones who come to your school and shoot up the place. Victims
that's right.
being bullied is what happens. So, you know, we have to be able to recognize those signs and reach out, you know, to those young people because they're not going to reach out to us. We got to go and get them. You know, if we want to make change, don't think they're going to come to you. You got to go and
right.
get them.
Right. And, you know, I think that's one of the biggest hurdles and is keeping it on the front burner. You know, that's why, you know, we wanted to bring it back tonight. With going back from spring break, a lot of times kids, you know, if they get to a point where they don't feel comfortable in the environment or, you know, can't learn, they're going to end up dropping out of school, and then, you know, their life is going to be, you know, even more difficult because, you know, they don't have an education and, you know, they don't have a diploma and they don't have the qualifications to go to college, and it snowballs. And so what I'm saying, Rev B, is that, you know, is the challenge is out there, but we have to keep pressing the issue. It's like this is something you can't never go away. I was using an example of a state trooper that has to constantly monitor the highways because you always have people driving unsafely, aggressive driving. Police officers have to be there all the time to patrol and to know that there's always going to be this chance of someone breaking the law. And, you know, the state troopers can't stop. The county police can't stop. The sheriffs can't stop. And it's because there's someone that's always going to be trying to break the rules. But if you have the state troopers, if you have the county, if you have the local jurisdiction police officers, and you have the local sheriffs constantly on patrol, then that is a deterrent to those who might have done something, but they see a deterrent. And so, you know, that's the thing is with schools, with teachers, with parents, with, you know, other students, is we have to have this mentality that we always have to be on the patrol, we always have to be on the lookout for bullying. And it's something that we can never put down. We can't never let it down. You got to be on it, you know, all day, every day, because, again, as these people grow up into society, what that does, that affects the wellness of our community, and we become victims of our lackadaisian, if you say that five times real quick, our lackadaisical attitude toward bullying, really.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have to. I mean, you know, we just can't just get caught up in just sweeping this thing under the rug because, you know, each year, you know, we see signs of it, and each year it's getting worse. know, it's just getting much more worse. And, you know, we have to get on top of this. I mean, you know, we got to figure out what anti-bullying things we can put in the schools, you know. And, I mean, it happens on the job. It happens in churches.
Right.
It happens everywhere where people
right.
don't feel comfortable. They feel like they're being bullied. They feel like, you know, they've been told what to do, that they can't speak up. You know, those are all forms of bullying, you
right.
know, where people aren't able to be themselves and express themselves and feel like they're, you know, they're being accepted. You know, that is a form of bullying. So, you know, we have to, you know, really make society, you know, their awareness heightened on this.
Yeah.
Realize that from this bullying epidemic, we have so many other things. Out of bullying, you have school violence. Out of
mm-hmm.
bullying, you have high school dropout rates.
Yeah.
You know, out of bullying, you have alcohol. You have drug abuse.
Yeah.
You have all these things. You have teen pregnancy, where young ladies get pregnant because they feel like a baby's going to love them because nobody
yep.
else will, because they can't be accepted by anybody else. You know, all of these things, at the end of the day, come out of that one pot, and that pot is bullying. You know, all of these things, you know, I'm feeling like I can't be myself, so let me drink my sorrows away. Let me smoke my sorrows away.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go and beat up on somebody, you know.
Right.
And I think we talked about that on the webpage when we talked about that, you know, a high percentage of students who are bullied eventually are going to bully
yep.
somebody. It's like
yep.
it reciprocates. I was bullied, so I'm going to bully somebody. And then that person's going to bully somebody. So it just becomes a circle that never
yep.
changes. It just becomes a circle that just keeps continuing and continuing and continuing. And eventually it just becomes, you know, an epidemic. And, you know, we really have to put this on the front burner, and it has to stay there, you know, because, you know, like you say, out of this comes so many other issues and so many other problems. And we always looking for solutions, how to stop different things. But I tell you, if we address the issue of bullying,
mm-hmm.
that
early on.
Eliminates, yeah, early on, in the early stages, you know, the early stages, that will help eliminate some of the other problems that we have in our communities, you know. And like you say, society is a funny place, you know. Society is the biggest bully of them all. Because society, and Pastor C, you know, society doesn't allow people to be individuals.
My goodness.
You know, they say, well, if you want to be such and such and such, you got to look like this. You got to
right.
be like this.
Right.
You got to talk like this. You got to drive this. You got to
exactly.
live in this house. You got to eat this food. You got to wear these clothes and wear these shoes and blah, blah. What do you think that is? That's a form of bullying.
Bullying.
People telling you what you... That's right. People are telling you what you need to do.
Right.
At the end of the day,
if you're different,
be yourself. Right. To be different is
different.
To be wrong. To be different is to be an outcast.
Yeah. And that was one of the things we talked about earlier. Is if you're gay, if you're lesbian, if you're bisexual or transgender, then, you know, along with being those in those categories, you know, bullying is heightened. You know. It's almost like they become targets because of their being gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgender. People, for whatever reason, you know, just take things out on that community, which is you know, it's tough when people are you know, struggling with you know, where they are, where they stand, you know, as far as their sexuality, and you know, everyone has the a choice to make, but because someone's making a choice that might not be what you are, they shouldn't be bullied or harassed or beat up or you know, injured or anything like that. And it's become epidemic. It's an epidemic, and you know, most of the time when we deal with epidemics, we take it serious and we get, you know, treatment right away to understand that this epidemic, like you were saying, is. Needs to be dealt with, and we need to treat it like, you know, bullying is an epidemic that causes all kinds of terrible behaviors in our society.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I'm not going to say it almost. I'm going to say it does. That bullying brings out the worst in individuals. I mean, and bullying is not just physical. You know, it's that verbal, it's that controlling,
mm-hmm.
you know. And, I mean, you see it everywhere. You see it in marriages. You see it, you know. I mean, there's no place where I don't think bullying does not exist, where people don't feel like they're being bullied or
right.
people don't feel like they're being controlled. It's all over the place, you know. And we've got to be able to recognize the signs. We've got to see the symptoms. And we got to say, you know what, we've got to do something about this. You know, now granted, you know, Pastor C, you know, we're not going to save the world. You know, we're not going to even put a dent in it. But at
that was my example with the state trooper. The state trooper
right.
on the sided road, he's not going to stop everybody.
He's not going to stop everybody. But at least if we can heighten the awareness of some people and say, hey, you know, be mindful. Be careful
right.
of what you say. Be careful of how you treat people. Be respectful of people's personalities and be respectful of people's right to be an individual. So what they don't dress like you. So what they don't talk like you. So what this, so what that. You know, it doesn't matter because at the end of the day, we all should want to be individuals, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the preacher on Friday night, he said our biggest problem is, you know, we still in the crowd. We allow the crowd to control us, to dictate us. You know, he's talking
wow.
about, you know, the crowd that was stood there when Jesus came into Jerusalem, but that same crowd,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're going to crucify him by, you know, by Friday, by
That's
Thursday.
Right.
You know, so, you know, he was saying that, you know, the crowd many times dictates our thoughts, dictates our ways. But he said, you know, we have to separate ourselves from the crowd. And even if that means that, you know, we're going to be picked on or we're going to be talked about, it's okay.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, you should say, I am who I am, and nobody is controlling me or telling me what I need to do. I can say I am an individual. And that
right.
is the most important thing that you have is your right to be an individual, to dress how you want to dress, to live how you want to live, and to do how you want to do. You don't live in a communist society that tells you what you need to do, but, you know, we live in a society where we have rights and we have freedoms as individuals. You know, the Bill
That's
of
right.
Rights, those are rights as individuals that we can do certain things and it's okay, and that's what we want. We want people to be individuals. Stop going with the crowd. Stop trying to fit in with the crowd. Stop trying to be somebody that, you know, you're not just because you want to be accepted and, you know, to go against the grain. They oftentimes bring some criticism, but at the end of the day, you know what? It's better to deal with that criticism and be an individual than to be in a crowd and have somebody controlling you and telling you what to do and what to say.
Right, right. Let me ask you, you know, we talk about cyberbullying and, you know, social
mm-hmm.
media, Facebook, Twitter, you know, Instagram, those type of social networks that it's hard for adults, parents, guardians to be able to monitor that a lot. And one of the ways that I see can be used is that when you see someone starting to misuse those things is to not even respond to it and not even use it. It's sort of like, you know, reading your press as far as, you know, someone writes something about you in the newspaper. They always say, you're not as good as they say you are. You're not as bad as they say you are. So don't get caught up in the hype because,
right.
you know, you got people that can stand behind a computer or a phone and write anything. And, you know that says something about them, that they're cowardice to do that. The question I have for you is other than just not using it or not responding to it, what means is available to deal with cyberbullying?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, and I mean, it's really sad because, you know, the intention was for good, but now the intentions have turned to evil. Because when you look at these social media outlets, especially Facebook, you know, Instagram and all of these things, which are very popular, you know, amongst our kids, you know, or even just the basic text messaging, is that, you know, they were used as lines of communication, they're used as lines of networking and all of this. But now people have used these, you know, these outlets to air dirty laundry, to keep stuff mm-hmm. stirred up, you know. And now, you know, it's become to the point where people are just hiding behind their text messages, hiding behind their tweets and,
yep.
you know, hiding behind their Instagram and just saying, yep. oh, I don't like your picture, it's ugly, or, you know, I see you at the mall and you had on this and blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah, blah. You know, they're just airing out all of their dirty laundry because, you know, they can hide behind it. They don't have to say right. it to your face. They can just post it somewhere and they know you'll get the message,
mm-hmm.
you know. And really, you know, I really wish that our children could stay off of Twitter,
yep.
stay off
yep.
of Facebook, you know, stay off of Instagram and all of these other outlets. But unfortunately, you know, that's their means of communication.
It's not reality.
It's a reality. That's the reality, and that's just the way society is headed. That, you know, we are a technological society now. Everything that we do is computer based. You know, everything. You know, how we
right.
communicate is all a cell phone
right.
or a computer or whatever. That's just how we communicate. And I think, you know, the intentions are always good when these things are created, but somehow or another,
mm-hmm.
you know, the enemy has a way of getting his hand in it. And, you know, turning that thing from good to evil, and, you know, look at what we have. We have a lot of inappropriate use with the technology, you know. And our young people are on it. I mean, they're on it all day, class, out of class, before school, after school, you name it. That's where they spend the majority of their time. And I honestly wish I could say that, you know, I knew there was a way for young people
right.
to get off of these things. But unfortunately, even as they're doing their mess on there, people
right.
are putting homework assignments on Facebook. You know, they're telling kids, you know, we got tests coming up tomorrow. Follow me on Twitter. I'll tell you what to
right.
study, tell you where to find.
Right.
I mean, so it's almost impossible for them not to be on these outlets. But I just think, you know, if we could just reach the mindset of, you know what, use this, you know, to benefit you and not to hinder you.
Right.
You know, but like you say, it's almost impossible to be able to control the airwaves. You know, everybody's not using it to air their dirty laundry,
right.
just, you know, just like you said. But unfortunately, there are a large percentage of people who just get on there and just talk about everybody and
right.
everything and post the stuff and all of this. And, of course, that always leads to conflict.
And the suggestion that the website is, and I just want to remind everybody what the website is, a government website. It's called stopbullying.com, stopbullying.gov.
Uh-huh.
And one of the suggestions that they use, and I've used this, is to, you know, ask to friend or to follow your kids in the social media, or ask another trusted adult to follow them. We have one of our adults at our church, one of our ministers, that actually follows the kids during their social media. Ask them about, you know, their Instagrams, their Twitters, their Facebooks, and their YouTubes, and you know, talks to them and lets them know, hey, I'm out here watching them. Hey, man, you should see their faces when I say, oh, I got the update on this, or I got the update on that. Man, you should see some of their faces. When I first told them that, man, they was crying. So, well, I got to go take it on, pastor, to see this, that, and the other. Oh, man, it's like they had instant diarrhea. It's like, oh, no, we got it.
Yeah,
and, you know,
I mean,
every now and then I just remind them that we have a minister that's looking like that, looking at this stuff and you know, filling me in, keeping me posted on this. And so
mm-hmm.
I think sometimes if they have an understanding that, you know, someone in a position of leadership or authority is in their flow, you know, of what
mm-hmm.
they're doing, I
right.
think that gives them pause to think twice about, you know, what they're doing.
What they're doing, yeah. And that's the thing, you know, you have to be, you know, you have to be mindful of what you put on these things. You know, just like we had a meeting today, you know, and I'm like, you know, the intentions may be good, but if you're putting stuff on your Facebook page, you need to tell folks this. You know, folks have jobs and they may not want their picture on Facebook or
right.
You know, they may not, you know, so you have to be careful. You know, you have to be careful because people monitor this stuff. You know, they know what's on your Facebook page. And they're like, well, I thought he was supposed to be so-and-so, but look at his Facebook page. I thought he was supposed to be doing so-and-so. Look at it. You know, so you have to be very careful to know that somebody can see what you're posting and what you're talking about and what you're putting on your Facebook pages. And you have to be very, very careful because there are a lot of church folks that have inappropriate Facebook pages.
My goodness.
You know, on there saying whatever, posting whatever.
Yeah,
we said, we said, da 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 da, you know, and folks are like, ain't that supposed to be, you know, the pastor's child and you know what I'm saying? You know, so you have to be very careful because it's not just your page, but it's, you know, it's for everybody to see, you know, and you don't want to give off false or negative, you know, false or negative presentation, and folks have, different perspective of you. So, you know, you have to be mindful of those things. But, you know, but I just think in general, you know, Pastor C, I wish there was a way that we could really, you know, monitor or limit what you could say on Facebook or limit what you could say on Twitter or limit what you could say on Instagram. But unfortunately, you have access to say whatever you want on these outlets. And, of course, you know, that's what leads to the conflicts, that's what leads to the issues, that's what leads to the cyber bullying where people are going back and forth, sending messages, you know, and all this other stuff. And then it just gets out of hand. And then, of course, it escalates from verbal to now becomes physical, you know. And eventually, you know, it just gets to the point where even lives are lost or whatever. And, you know, all of those things we want to eliminate. But I think the most important thing is, for especially our young people, is, you know, as you prepare to go back to school tomorrow, if you're not feeling safe, if you're not feeling comfortable, you're having an issue with another student, you know, in the school, go to an adult, you know, somebody that you trust, a teacher, administrator, whoever. Go to that person and you say, like, look, you know, I'm really having a difficult time. This is what's going on. And make them aware. You know, and one of the beautiful things is that, you know, you can have that conflict resolution. You sit down with the kid, you sit down with the kid, and then once you wind up talking, you realize, you know what, I don't even know why we was fighting.
Yeah, why was we beefing?
Because this is stupid.
Right.
You know? So, and that's the thing is that, you know, kids get so caught up just in the emotionalism of it that they forget. They forget why you mad at the person at the end of the day anyway.
Correct.
You know, so, you know, you just have to be mindful of that.
The final point I want to make to those that may be bullying or influenced to bullying, you know, through cyber bullying, is that you're not going to be a kid forever, but, you know, the things you put on the social media, they're out there forever. And if you go to, you know, gain entrance into many colleges now, they look at your social networking, social media, as far as your Facebook page and your Twitter and your Instagram and your YouTube. They look at those things. And, you know, based upon what you're putting out there, they are you know, very biased or discriminating to who they allow to come into their communities, their campuses. And then even further with matriculating through, you know, college or even if you don't go to college, as far as with employment and job and careers, those things can cause you to go from being, you know, the top three, you know,
mm-hmm.
bottom 10 and going to file 13 or the trash. And
exactly.
So those are the things that, you know, just wanted to, you know, let people know that it's real. It's a real world out here, and people don't want to have their organizations exposed to people that would bully, people that would have negative, you know, connotations toward their organization.
That's right. That's right. You know, and, you know, people not only look at your page, they look at who your mutual friends are and see who you're associating with. And, you know, like you always say, if you ever want to determine a person's character, look at who they hang out with. You know, look who's on their friend page, and that'll tell you what type of person they are. So, mm-hmm. you know, and people have to be mindful of that. Their jobs do monitor your Facebook page. That's why I don't even have one.
I know that's right.
Teachers lose their jobs because of mm-hmm. Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what? Maybe I don't even need to have one. Just play it cool, play it safe, you know, and be like, hey, not at this point in time do I need one. But, you know, you just have to be mindful, you know, of those things that, you know, jobs, you know, go back and look at your Facebook page and look at your Twitter page. They look at all of these things to determine, you know, not just what you look like on a piece of paper, not what your resume looks like or, you know, your job experience. They want to make sure, you know, you're a law-abiding citizen, that, you know, you're mm-hmm. what you're supposed to be in the community. Because at the end of the day, you're representing who you work for.
Right. So
you're representing Heart of God Baptist Church. You're representing mm-hmm. New Birth Baptist Church. So you know how you are in this setting should be the same way you are in other settings, and people should be able to see that all the time.
That's right. Well, Rip B, that gonna wrap us up tonight. It's good to be able to go back and refresh on, you know, bullying.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, and that's a very good point. And, you know, we'll be praying for all of our young people as they go back to school. And some of us started back last week and then it's been for a couple of days. But, you know, like you say, we want to definitely keep revisiting that bullying topic, because that is something that is so, you know, very prevalent in our society. You know, we want to keep that awareness heightened.
Amen. So if anybody wants to get some information on bullying and a resource, you can go to stopbullying.gov. That's stopbullying.gov. And it's great, some great information, even in Spanish, and videos, blogs, whatever you possibly could be interested in. It's a great resource, but just don't do anything. You got to get involved, get started. And so now that you have the resource, we want you to get connected.
Get connected. All right. God bless. Good night.
God bless. We'll talk to you. Good night.